Well, we'll go ahead and start our Sunday school hour as soon as others gather in. It's good to have Monty and Janine Lovell with us. Thanks, you guys. I see they're separated already. After how many years? 47 years?
49
already. 49 years.
50 in a couple of months.
Well, congratulations, Monty.
Thank you.
I mean, and Janine. We'll be singing "I Just Keep Trusting My Lord," number 384. I'm sure there are a lot of testimonies to that, even when we may not have the strength to do so on our own. God gives us strength to trust him, doesn't he? I guess all of us are growing in our ability to trust him. Our faith muscle, we may call it, is growing stronger, I hope, even if our body grows weaker. Our faith muscle should grow stronger. Let's sing "I Just Keep Trusting My Lord" and sing them in, everybody, okay? Go ahead, Valerie. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives us song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trend, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on him to the very end. Clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. We'll sing that another time in just a moment, so you can stay there if you don't mind. Thank you, Valerie. That was one of Ken's requests in the past, to sing "I Just Keep Trusting My Lord." Okay, let's sing "I Just Keep Trusting My Lord" once more, and then I have a couple of introductory comments about, or for, our speaker. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky over the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. Count on him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. I was wondering if Ray was whistling that. We need to have you do some whistling, Ray. Thank you very much, Valerie. Monty, you come and report to us about what God is doing. And tell us a little bit more about your family.
Good. Thank you. I want you to know that we greatly appreciate your prayers. We greatly appreciate your support, and you are well thought of by us tremendously. And we always have a joy when we have the opportunity to come up here. It's been a blessing, and so I'm thankful for that. This is my kind of country, you know, growing up in Cody and Wyoming and just mountains and all that. I'm at home here. It doesn't take much. It just takes to be able to look out and find a peak. I didn't find that in South Dakota like I did in eastern South Dakota anyway. And and when I get to other places, but I'm glad to be able to do that here. One of the things I wanted to share is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't like talking about Janine and I like talking about what God's doing. That's the important thing, because we are just His instruments. He works in us, and He works through us. And it's for His glory that happens. It's not because I've figured something out that nobody else has. No, it's the same God all of us that know Jesus as our Savior has. And He works in all of us, and He works through all of us. And He just simply has called us to do what we do. And He gets the glory, just like He does in your life. And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's two verses I want to look at this morning as we get started. It says in verse 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." I can't make it happen. Believe me, I've tried, haven't you? And it doesn't work. God has to work. He has to be the one working in us, and He has to be the one working through us. But I like verse 6 because He says, "He has made us, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." The gospel. Able ministers of what His message is for mankind. And He does that for every believer because we are all ministers. We are all people that have the ministry of grace to one another. We have the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I just use it simply, it's pointing people to our God by our life, by our words, and just that should be every believer. And that's who we are. He makes us that. So as we walk with Him, that's what's going to happen in our lives. He's going to do that. So we're going to show you a bunch of things that God's done over the past few years and the past, since we started in this ministry in 1994, traveling. I was a pastor in two churches before that. And, that's kind of a great learning experience for somebody who goes out on the road. And I encourage people, young people, that say, "I want to be an evangelist. I want to be able to go to the churches and speak." I tell them, you need to be a pastor first. Because you need to understand the pastor's heart. And if you don't have that understanding, some of those guys can be a little brutal. I hate to say that. But there's a special recognition when you're with people every week, all week. And working together and how to build the body. And I heard one evangelist say, "I blow in, I blow up, and I blow out." And when I was still in the pastorate, when I heard that, and I said, "That's one guy that's not blowing in my church." Because that's not the ministry of what God calls an evangelist to do. I think Titus is an evangelist in a way that God had put him together. Timothy also. And he tells Titus in chapter 1, "Set the things in order that are lacking in the church." And I find God doing that. I was at a church one time, unbeknownst, they had scheduled me a year before. I came and they were in the midst of a great controversy. Matter of fact, they called and said, "It probably is not even worth your coming." And I said, "Well, we scheduled this. And if God wanted me to come, I'm going to be there, and we'll see what God does." And the Lord really worked in that situation. They had to vote on a very difficult issue, and it was 50-50 when I came in on Saturday. By the time Wednesday night rolled around for their meeting, it was 100%. And there was not a dry eye in the congregation. They understood the seriousness of the issues. They understood the seriousness of what they were doing. And God was working in hearts, and love was being ministered through those people. And what a joy that was. That's God. That's what He does. He brings us together. He builds this bond. And we're on the same team. and we should act like we're on the same team and work together as God works in us and through each of us. That's what He's going to lead us to do. And so I have the privilege of being a part of a home church, and Janine and I have been there basically since it started. We were a few weeks before the first opening date because we were traveling, but we came back and we've been in it ever since. It started in 2002, and God's blessed greatly. So when I'm home, Janine and I are busy there, and when we're on the road, Janine and I are busy there. And I'll share a few things as we go through this morning. But I want you to keep in mind, please, it's not because Monty Level figured something out different than everybody else. It's not it at all. I serve the same God you do, and this is how He's chosen to work in and through my life. That's all I can say. Can I make it happen? No. He has to make it happen, but that's what He does. He works. He does great and mighty things. He makes us able to do what He calls us to do. And so that the glory all goes to Him. And so I thank the Lord for the privilege of being in ministry. But I want to share, this is our family. This is the last picture. One of the last day of pictures before Chris passed away. Chris is the middle boy with the big beard. He had melanoma cancer, and it didn't show itself until it was already stage 4 through his body. It didn't show outside. There was no place outside of him that showed melanoma, even after melanoma was developed inside. And so it happened sometimes inside, and by the time it showed itself, it was already in his spine, it was in his lungs, it was in his liver, it was in his pelvis, it was all over him. He thanked the Lord, though. It wasn't in his brain. He had his mind all the way to the end. And so I praise God for that. The greatest thing is, I get to see my son again. I get to go see him. But his two brothers, we were very close family, and the two brothers miss him tremendously. And so does Pastor Aaron, the Schreffer's son. Pastor Chris and Pastor Aaron were good friends. And he left a big hole. He was 6'2". And when you pass away at 6'2", you're going to leave a big space. But I thank the Lord we still have two other sons, and what a privilege it is to be able to see them. Janine's not been able to travel with me consistently for a long time. This is why. She took care of her mom. Her mom was in assisted living, but there were weeks that she was at the doctor's 3, 4, 5 times a week sometimes. And so Janine was always there, and then she always needed things, and she was there pretty much every day helping her mom for the last 10 years before she passed. Well, she passed in August, and she's now with the Lord, and we're thankful for that. And going to see her again, too. And so what a joy that will be. But her mom, what a sweet person, 94 years old when she passed. And God worked in and through her. She would always ask, "Do you know my Jesus?" The workers at the place where she was staying, "Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus?" That was her testimony. And what a life she lived. Some of you were wondering about me when I said we had horses. And this is a typical scene for us when I was growing up and afterwards, even into my time before I left to go to Bible college, and even after Bible college, I went back and went hunting for a while until I couldn't do it anymore and the pastorate. Backpacking, we have some beautiful places we go. We do men's retreats up in the mountains. That's me, heavily loaded. I'm sorry. I'm learning. The guys are trying to teach me to take less weight. My body's telling me you need to take less weight. And my age is telling me. And so the guys have been very, very kind. And they're starting to take my weight from me. But I still have a 7,000 cubic inch backpack. That's a big one, isn't it, Pastor? 7,000 cubic inches. Normally now, I have one guy that takes less than 30 pounds for a week, including his food and fishing gear. So there's ultralights that they do. We're just out day hiking here in some beautiful areas. We're in a lot of churches. Some of you might know this church. It's First Baptist Church in Dillon. We've been there recently and know the families and the kids. Absolutely love the kids, love Pastor. And got to meet Pete Mitchell, is taking care of a ranch down there. And Pete's from Camp Chetek in Wisconsin. And he was a caretaker there. He worked at the ranch, at the camp. And he's caretaker of a large ranch now. And so we've just had a great time in Dillon area. And Pastor Joel Smith and his wife Jessica and their children are there. And Joel's doing a good job. He's seeking the Lord's direction. And he's asked that I spend time with him and mentoring. So I'm having that opportunity. He's giving me that opportunity. Another church. We just keep traveling wherever the Lord would take us, doing whatever the Lord sets before us. Here's one some might know. This is where Pastor Aaron Trepfer is, in Alaska. Been there many times. I remember back on the day when I was approached by the one deacon they had remaining, the few families, just a couple or three or four, and they were saying, "Shall we close the church?" I said, "No, there's opportunity here. And God's put things together." And the pastor from Continental Baptist Mission went in there and did a tremendous job, built a beautiful parsonage, and God used him. And that church went self-supporting soon afterwards. And it's still a struggling work. It needs a lot of help. And Pastor Aaron is doing a tremendous job. They are very, very solid people, love the Lord, and look forward to seeing him again. We're going back to Alaska in October. I'm speaking at a Bible conference up there. Looking forward to that. And so, here's a church I wanted to share from Ennis, Montana. I've helped them twice finding pastors. Actually, three times. The first time, it was quite unique. They found a guy that I wouldn't have recommended. They didn't do enough homework on him, and he was there 9 months and started teaching things that were not in their doctrinal statement and started doing some things, trying to take a church direction. So they had to dismiss him after 9 months, helped him through that process, helped the church through that process. And then I was in Washington State preaching at a pastor's conference, and one of the guys in there said, I think God wants me in the ministry. He was an associate pastor, and he wanted to go in full time as a pastor. And so I'm sitting down with coffee with him at Starbucks, and I said, "So where would you like to go?" And he said, "I was thinking of Montana." And so I said, "Okay." And I'm sitting there playing with my iPad. And he thought that was quite rude while I was talking with him. Well, then I pulled up a picture of Rocky Mountain Baptist Church. I said, "How about this church?" And I recommended him to the church. And he was there 5 years, did a tremendous job. Tremendous. The church went from being in the red to stable. They added a heated garage to the parsonage. They've done all sorts of work there. And they had $100,000 in the bank account when he left. I mean, God really used he and his wife and family there. And so I was concerned when he called and said, "We're going to be leaving. We're going to South Carolina." And I said, "Oh, okay. You know, if that's God's will, do what God wants you to do." And so they went to South Carolina in October, the middle of October. And so I had time in November to go to the church, and I sat down with them. And I said, "I've been talking to a guy since, a couple months now. And he's from Colorado, Western Colorado. He's a ranch guy. And he's looking to pastor again. He was a pastor for 17 years. And I've checked him out doctrinally, but you need to check him out. Check him out well and do a good job of it. Check his doctrine. Check his philosophy of ministry, his working of the church and how to work together with the people. And check him out real good." They did. So that was November when I was there. They had him come candidate, and he was pastoring in January. That's the fastest I've ever seen it. Incredible. And doing a tremendous job. God's really using him there, and they're doing a great job there. Another church that we've been involved with in Wyoming for many, many years, and God's blessed there. A camp that we've been involved with. I don't know how many times I've spoken here, but probably five, maybe at least. But I was a pastor in this fellowship and in this camp. I was on their board for many, many years when I was in the pastorate. So it's just a great group there. And of course, at camp, you always have to climb up to the cross. This one, you climb up from the backside because it's straight down in the front. But that's where they do the rappelling. That was fun. First time I ever rappelled, the director or the guy that was in charge of that said, "Do you mind if I use you as an example? I've never rappelled before." So he says, "I'll harness you all up," and he did. And he said, "Now I just want you to lean back and step out from the edge of the cliff and lean over in space, and I'll hold you as I talk to the kids." I'm standing there in space waiting for him to tell me when I can jump and move myself down, because he taught me how to do that number with the ropes and slow yourself down. And you know, I loved it. I enjoyed that a lot. It's the easiest I've ever gone down a cliff in my life. I've had some rough ones. But it's just a joy to be with camps. I enjoy working with them. And of course, one of them has a zip line. And they would throw water balloons on the last day. Everybody got a water balloon, and they could throw it at the speaker and the camp director and about three or four different ones. And I'm the last one. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I see a lot of water balloons and stuff still in people's hands. They're waiting. They're waiting. And so I go down the zip line, and sure enough, nobody threw a water balloon at me. You know what they did? They grabbed me when I started coming in at the bottom of the zip line and pushed me back up. And then you're just sitting there, a target, until you start rolling back down. And I'm a big enough target as it is, but that made it, I was drenched. But what fun we had. What fun we had. Camps are a joy. This is one of our books, Steadfast and Stable. It's the first one that was traditionally published, Journey Forth, a division of Bob Jones Publishing, University Press, published it. Second one, that we were working on this one for about 4 to 5 months with them, and they made a change in what they were doing. They went and said, "We're not doing any more adult acquisitions right now." So my acquisitions editor said, "I'm sorry, but we can't publish your book." And so a friend of mine that Sean and Valerie know, Dr. Alan Ferry, he was a retired chaplain from the Army. He's a colonel, retired as a colonel. And God used him to say, he called me and said, "You know what, I can publish that, get that published for you right away if you want to do that." And I said, "Sounds good to me," because I'd put in a letter that we weren't doing it through them. And so he went ahead and published it. It's on Amazon, and the other one's, of course, on Christian Book Distributors and Bob Jones Press. You can find it there, and Amazon also. But these are the two books that God's given me the opportunity to write. Let me go ahead and change this, because I have a couple of other things that I want to show, too. I thought you might be interested in this one. This is a church. Whoops, I don't want Norton to work. This is a church in California. When I first went to this church, they have 6 people. And the church there with 6 people has about $3 million worth of property. They were looking for help. How do we get this thing going? And the pastor was in a wheelchair, so he couldn't do anything. And the second time I was there, I went down to do a wedding for a couple. And this is the couple, the Sondergaards. And she was a missionary to Moldova. And she had been there on the field and finished all the projects and everything that she was asked to do. And she was coming back to the United States. And she met Ron. And Ron said, "Hey, let's get married." So I've known her since she was 8 years old. And I've known Ron for about 5 years. And so she called me and said, "Hey, do you know a guy by the name Ron Sondergaard?" And he called me and said, "Do you know a gal by the name of Sarah?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And so it was just a neat thing. And so when they got married, they invited me to come down and do their wedding. And we did counseling with them beforehand. And he was at the church trying to help this church go as a single man. Well, the week he was getting married, the pastor of this church passed away. So I went down on one day and did the wedding. The next day I did a funeral. And so it was an opportunity to see God work in a ministry. This whole area in Sonoma area in California, they really don't have a good, solid Baptist church. But the building had been so neglected. See how neglected that roof is? There was leaking inside their fellowship hall. And so as I was working there, I had the opportunity. I said, "Why don't we bring a team down and help you guys?" And so we took off the fascia board all around that fellowship hall and did a lot of work on it. And we brought a team down from our church in Idaho and spent a few days. There were 7 layers of roof on that building, including gravel and tar, 2 different layers. It was a mess. We went down to bare boards, and we had to replace some of the boards because of the neglect. The whole building had been neglected inside and out, and so we had a great team there working on it, and we spent about a week there. I've been down there a couple of times to help, and then preaching in the church also while we're there. And God's been using this church, and Ron and Sarah, they ended up taking the pastorate. I asked them right before their wedding, "Would you guys consider taking this church?" And Ron has a carpentry background. That's helped. One of the things, and he's doing the roofing here, he's throwing the shingles up while we're cleaning off the rest of it. And just did a great job. And a lot of work. I know how to perfotape or do the taping and mudding. Somebody told me when they first taught me how to do that, "Don't tell anybody. You'll be doing it the rest of your life." I don't mind it. I really don't. And so I'm trying to patch up some stuff in one of the rooms. And here we're cleaning out one of the garages. The pastor and wife that were there for so long were hoarders. And I mean, this is normal of what we saw. Inside the house, it was inside the whole fellowship hall. I had 3 dumpster loads that I did immediately when I started working on it. That was just me personally down for a trip. And it was bad. And they should have left a long time before they did. But God took him home, and now Ron and Sarah are taking this church. And I'm excited because I think they're going to go somewhere. I think they're going to do a lot. And there's Sarah there. And the last report I got from them is, praise God, there's new people coming from the community. There are things happening. The Lord's opening doors. They're seeing people interested in salvation. God is really working there in their church. It's taken several years, 2 or 3 years now, to get to this point. I think they're at least 2 years into it now. And I'm excited for that church. You know what everybody wanted to do? Several missionary agencies came and said, "We will help." If it doesn't work, we'll close the church and sell the property and use it somewhere else. I saw that happen in one church, and it wasn't a mission agency that did it. It was somebody else, another well-known, and you would know if I said it, came in. They didn't even try to reestablish the church. They just sold the property and took the finances for their ministry. So I don't like seeing that. Here's a place, they have all this property, 2.5 acres right in the city. There's no works out there like a good solid Baptist church. And there's a need. There's 50,000 people within 5 miles. There's a need. Don't close it. Let's get this thing revitalized. Let's get it going again. That's one of the things that I'm involved with too. Just one of the many things. God's given us the great opportunity. So I'm just so thankful for just seeing good things happen. Can I say this? Yes, we have helped close works too. One church was working in a rented building. Their pastor was leaving. There were 6 people in that church. All 3 couples sat around the table with me. And I said, so what do you think we need to do here? And I asked them, can each of you go to another church nearby here? 2 of them drove by other churches on the way to this church. The youngest person in that group of 6 was 82. I said, you don't even have a building now, because they had sold the building and the new owners wanted them out. What do you think God's telling you? Your pastor's going on to another work, and he has done tremendous where he went. He spent 8 years trying to really help this church grow and work with the people, and God did not choose to bless. Sometimes God does that. And so I said to him, well, what are you going to do? And they said, well, we'll just have a Bible study every Sunday, and we'll just have one of the guys do it, because he's a member here, and he preaches. He was a pastor for a long time. So we'll just have him do it. That was on Sunday afternoon. That guy died on Tuesday. Went to be with the Lord. I met them again Thursday and said, what do you think God's telling you? And they said, it's time to close church. You hate to see that. But God used them during that time. From that, people have gone to other churches that are in the area. There's another church that's within 7 miles that is being revitalized. God, they have a building and God is working there. They have 2 pastors that are working there now, and we've been helping in that a bit and do a lot of advisory stuff with them. And God's working. I'm excited about that. Sometimes he does need to say, we're done here. And it's time to go over here. And praise the Lord for what he's doing. That's a hard thing to go through for churches. This one in California, I tried to get people on board. You know what was interesting? This guy here, the new pastor, Ron and Sarah, what was interesting was he said yes to doing the work here. There was a person that knew about it, and when he said yes, they said, here's a check for $25,000 to get started on the work. That's God! That's the God we serve. I love seeing God work. It's just so exciting. I mean, it boggles your mind. You couldn't put this together if you tried. But God can. That's what he does. And I love what he's doing here. I'm excited about what's ahead, and I hope and pray that if we can help, we'll send a team up, we'll do what we can. I don't know how it'll work, I don't know what God will put together, but we'd love to be a help here. And as you guys are already a help to Janine and I, doing what God has for our lives. I have one more thing I was going to share. Another place God's had us go. South Africa. I like it down there. As you can see, it's beautiful. It's called the Garden Route, and it's the southern part. This is on the Indian Ocean, and it's about 4 hours from Cape Town along the coast as you head east and northeast. And it's a beautiful place. They've had a missionary there. He did a lot of work for many years, and God used him tremendously. While I was there, one of the times, one of those times, they looked at buying this property. They were meeting in a school building, and we had lots of people coming, and there was a leadership institute. I taught there and when I was down, and God was working in this. And one of the things that happened is, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to put this together? And I said, if God's in it, it's already done. He knows how to put it together. We just need to follow Him and walk with Him and see what He's going to do. And so they went ahead. One of the deacons was just, I mean, he just, we went out to dinner together, he and I, and he just, I just don't see it. I don't see it working. I don't see how it's going to work. And I said, let's just wait on the Lord. I know He can make things happen. I know He does. You have some finances now. This is a great building and a great opportunity to buy. And God's putting this together. He's just laid it right out here for you. So let's go see what He's going to do. And He finally, they went along with it. And they got the building. And you know, within a year, God paid that building off totally. Within 1 year. I went back a year and 2 months or 3 months later, and you know what that deacon came up to me? He said, I need to talk with you because we're working as a building committee. We need to remodel for more room already. His attitude totally changed. He was excited about what God was going to do next. It was so wonderful. I loved it. I'd never mentioned a word about our meeting before. Didn't have to. God already worked. It was tremendous. I'm so excited about what getting to see what God does. Here's part of their work there and some of their new building. There I am down there. This is one of the guys. Neville is one of the guys that's speaking. They have another young man that's there too now, and South African. And so he's doing well. This girl, she got saved before I got there. Her parents were in the church, and this girl came to me the first Sunday I was there and said, hey, I want you to come to my baptism. And it was over at this house with a pool, and one of the pastors is on the left. That's her dad in the middle. And she said, I want you to come and see me baptized. And I got the privilege of seeing that. And you know what she did when she came out? After she came out and got dried off and changed, she came back out and started talking to everybody while we were eating things. And she said, you know, I have this book that I'm doing. I said, really? And what is it? She pulled out this book. And she said, I'm loving it. And it's great. And I said, praise the Lord! That's what God does. And so God's working there. This is one of the ladies in the church. There's several that I have pictures of. This guy is a retired pastor. He's in the church now. And he and I correspond pretty much regularly. This couple have invited us to come stay with them. They have moved to England. So we're going to go to England and see them sometime. Lord willing. I don't know if it'll work or not. But if God's in it, we're for it. And so what a great couple. They just really are tremendous. These couples, tremendous people. This guy did a great work. That guy that I just showed you, if you've ever met a gentleman of gentlemen's, he is that. He is so kind and so gentlemanly, just a wonderful person. This lady was an executive secretary in a large corporation for the CEO of the corporation. She had a stroke. She lost her job. She wasn't able to work anymore. She's on disability, but what an incredible person she is. This lady, Kathy, she was caretaking for some property for one of her children. So we stayed on that property when we go down there. And it's been wonderful. But Kathy developed cancer and is now with the Lord. And so this couple, we really enjoy, Janine and I do, and they correspond with us regularly. They're from Germany. They've gotten saved, and their son is really following the Lord and all excited about what God's going to do in his life. He's 17 years old now, and really enjoy him. And Reuben's another young man the same way. They need prayer because there's the same things that we have here in the States of people struggling in their walk with God. But there's just some things from South Africa. Any questions or anything before we continue or before we go to the next session? I'm sorry, I've just been talking. I hope this has been a little bit of a taste of what we do. It's just a small part. I can't put everything in there. But needless to say, we're busy. I do something sometimes. Yeah. No, we have lots to do. Pastor.
I'll just get the bottom line about questions. Please tell us about how God provides for you on all the traveling you do.
God has done a lot over the years. Churches have helped us. Our church is helping us now. We had started with the church being a mission church. I said, no, we don't need support from our church. We want to be able to just minister here and just be a regular person. And our pastor, after a few years back, said, no, we're done with that. We want to support what you're doing. And he wants to be involved in as God would enable him. And he's picked up the burden for the churches in the West. And we're reaching out and doing that. So our church has taken us on for support. We've had lots of family support. Janine's mom supported us over $1,000 a month. So when she passed away, we lost that. But God's picked it up in other ways. And it's just been tremendous. So we're doing okay that way. We have no retirement, but my folks were planning on putting a retirement together for us. Janine's mom left an estate for her. And so we have some security that way for our future. We haven't realized it all. But in the future, if we do realize it, when my mom passes, we will not need any more support. But we'll want every bit of support of prayer and behind us 100%. But God will enable us to do ministry without being a burden to anybody or any church. And we're not there. We don't want to be to a church a burden in any way, shape, or form. We would gladly pay our own way if that would help. And we've done that just to be a help. And sometimes receiving no compensation at all. And the door's not working back there, if somebody wants to catch that. Thank you. But anyway, that's one of the good things that God's doing for us. So keep praying for us. Any other questions? Can you see we're very eclectic in what we do? I do a lot of everything. It's just the way the Lord built my life. A lot of things. Even helping start churches. So I've done help with that too. So any other questions? Ken.
How did the Lord do that?
Good question. Appreciate the questions. The Lord worked in Janine and I's life together. We don't make decisions. I don't make decisions apart from my wife. Because if God's called me, He's called her. And so we wait for God to do that together. There were times when I was ready to go, she wasn't. There were times when she was ready. I started getting called to do meetings. And so I had a pastor do that in Washington State, did a week of meetings for them. Our church gave me that freedom. I was burdened, and when I was in South Dakota, for the smaller works. The big evangelists will go to the big churches because they can afford to do that. I always wanted to be small. Whatever God wanted me to be. I don't want to be any bigger than He wants. I don't want to be any smaller than He wants. That's my tendency, is to put myself down more than and not want to be something that God may want. And that's been a battle in my life. And because I was coming back from Peru one time, and I said, why, Lord, do you want me to do this? And He said, why not you? You know? Why don't you just go? And so I've learned that from the Lord. But I had a burden for small churches. And we went directly to working with small churches. First year we were busy 49 out of 52 weeks. We've pulled way back from that on our schedule. Can't handle that schedule. But the Lord really worked in my life. People in our church recognized it. I brought it to the deacons, had them pray with us for 6 months, asking the Lord to direct. And at the end of that 6 months, even I brought it before the whole church too. And I received encouragement. I found one of the missionaries from Peru said, if you do take this step, can you give us a month down here? And I've been down there 5.5 months total of all the times I went. And so it's been neat to see how God put it together even at the very beginning. I found His confirmation. If I go step out in this and nobody says, nobody's saying, you know, we don't think you should. I did get that from a lot of pastors. You're leaving a good church. You have a lot of income. Your church is growing. It grew very fast. Why are you doing this? Because it's God's will? Yeah, but you're not going to get a paycheck. Yeah. But that's living by faith, isn't it? Don't we live by faith anyway? So, well, let's go see what God will do. And God blessed. And I've seen that so much. I saw it before. I've been involved in works where the two churches we pastored, they both grew. One was in a farm community. We doubled in 7 years in size and did 3 major building projects in those 7 years. And for a small church, a major building project. And then the second church, we mushroomed. We went from 20 to 165 in 3 years. We had 1 year, 37 baptisms. And I discipled. I spent time in discipleship. That's where you get the material from. Training people. And they stayed. That's when I went to Peru the first time, we had 5 people saved in 1 church. And I went back 1.5 years later, and the pastor said, you see that couple there? You see that couple back there? You see that guy back there? Those are the ones that were saved last time you were here. That's fruit that remains. You know who did that? God did that, because that's what God does. I love it. I serve a great God. That's my privilege. And that's what He's done with my life. Now, every one of us could tell a story what He's done with our lives, because God's working in all of us. That's what He does, doesn't He? Yes, thank you. Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to be yours. The privilege we have as your children, those of us that have salvation secure in Christ. Lord, we know you. You know us. And what a privilege it is to walk with you and experience life and life more abundant the way you give. You work in us, you work through us. But Lord, it's all for your glory, because without you we can do nothing. But with you we can do whatever you set before us. Lord, we look to you, we trust you, we look forward to what you're going to do, and praise you for what you've already done. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.